Theodora, 1985. Written as the introduction to the Yolaboli Press edition of The Inland Whale, Theodora Kroeber's retellings of Native American stories. Some people lead several lives all at once. My mother lived several lives, one at a time. Her names reflect this serial complexity. Theodora Koval Krakow Brown Kroeber Quinn. The last four are the names of men. Krakow, her father's name, and the source of her lifelong nickname Cracky. Brown, Kroeber, and Quinn, her three husbands. Koval is a family name on her mother's side, used as a girl's middle name for several generations. Her first name came from a novel her mother liked, Theodora Goes Wild. She was Theo to some, Dora to none. The autobiographical note about the author on the jacket of the first edition of The Inland Whale reads in part, Theodora Kroeber was born in Denver and spent her early years in the mining camp of Telluride, Colorado. She earned a BA in psychology and economics and an MA in clinical, then called abnormal, psychology at the University of California. Offered a position in a boys' reformatory, she got married instead and had three sons and a daughter. When the children were grown and raising their own families, she began to write. Part of the background of her writing comes from Indians, rivers, and deserts encountered while accompanying her husband, A.L. Kroeber, the noted anthropologist, on professional journeys and field trips. The bit about the boys' reformatory is a characteristically graceful piece of legerdemain. Theodora took her master's degree in 1920 and married Clifton Brown that same year. 3 days later, with two baby sons, she was widowed. In 1925, she met Alfred Kroeber. They married, and in 1926 and 1929, her other two children were born. Where the boys' reformatory comes in this crowded decade, I can't quite figure out. Although she wrote two biographies, notable for their exhaustive research and scrupulous selection of fact, Theodora's native gift was for the brilliant shortcut that reveals an emotional or dramatic truth. The event turned legend. Not raw fact, but cooked fact. Fact made savory and digestible. She was a great cook, both of foods and of words. The Inland Whale was written in the late 1950s, when, as she says, her children were off having children, and she and Alfred were enjoying the freedom of his long emeritus career, during which he taught at Harvard and Columbia, and was a resident of various think tanks. Well-traveled, unhurried, productive years. Work, writing, was pretty much like breathing to Alfred Kroeber. He just quietly did it all the time. With time and energy now to spare, Theodora soon found her own breath. First, she wrote a couple of essays with Alfred. Interesting pre-computer attempts at counting word frequency in poetry, then some children's stories, often a woman's way into literature, threatening to no one, including herself, then a first novel, and then this book. I don't know the genesis of the book, but would guess that separate stories, which she had tried retelling for their own sake and the work's sake, began to make a whole. A shape in her mind. Perhaps she set out to write a book of stories about women, but I think it more likely that the pattern became apparent and the connections imperative as she worked and reworked and re-reworked the material. For she was a hard writer, a merciless reviser. The coherence of the book and the clarity of her prose are the result of the kind of distillation that makes fine liquors, the kind of pressure that makes diamonds. She strove for a vivid simplicity, but she was never artless. People ask if she told stories like these to her children. She read to us, but it is her Aunt Betsy and my father whose storytelling I remember. Only a few times do I recall her making the breakthrough into performance, as Del Himes calls it. Once, when she was 80 or so, 6 or 8 kids and grandkids at table, John Quinn presiding, one of us asked her about her experiences as a child of 9 on a visit to San Francisco when the great earthquake of 1906 struck. All the storytelling power of her books got unleashed, and none of us will forget that hour. But usually it was conversational give and take that she wanted and created among family and friends. And one sees her valuation of written narrative as higher or more finished than oral, the conventional and almost universal judgment of her time, both in literature and anthropology, in her notes to The Inland Whale. Still, it is very like her to have chosen from all the stories of the peoples of California 9 stories about women, at a time when, even in anthropology, the acts of women were easy to dismiss as secondary, women being subsumed, oddly enough, in man. From her mother, Phoebe, and other strong women of her late frontier Western childhood, Theodora had a firm heritage of female independence and self-respect. Her sense of female solidarity was delicate and strong. She made her daughter feel a lifelong welcome, giving me the conviction that I had done the right thing in being born a woman, a gift many woman children are denied. But also, she would say that she liked men better than women. Her temperament inclined her to the conventional supporting roles of wife and mother, and she detested the direct opposition of a woman's will to a man's. She must have thought her loving empire was endangered by feminism, for her intolerance of what she called women's lib went beyond her general distrust of ideologies. But all the same, in her life as a writer, I think she was a true feminist. Look for Native American women in white literature before 1960. If you find any at all, you generally find something called a squaw. There are no squaws in The Inland Whale, only human beings. This is not freedom from racist stereotyping only, but also freedom from masculinist prejudice and a deliberate search for the feminine. Theodora kept telling me to write about women, not men, years before I, the women's liber, was able to do so. She did so herself from the start, not only because the feminists of her mother's generation had freed us both, but also because she was true to her being, her perceptions, her female humanity. In all her different lives, she was entirely woman. The book was written and published, and Ishi was begun while Alfred was alive. After his death came her life as widow, soon famous in her own right for her great book, Ishi. And then a new life, and new directions in writing, as Mrs. John Quinn. She never wrote till she was over 50, and she never stopped writing till she died at 83. I wish she had started earlier. We might have had more books from her. Her novels might have found a publisher, and she wouldn't have had to wait for validation and self-confidence till a time in life when most artists are at ease with their craft and are getting the recognition they deserve. I know she regretted having started writing so late, but not bitterly. She wasn't a regretter or a blamer. She kept going on, out of an old life into a new one. So I imagine she goes now.